Hi, Odyssey fans. I'm Bob, producer of the Adventures in Odyssey Club.
And I'm Jesse, editor of Focus on the Family Clubhouse Magazine.
Welcome to the official Adventures in Odyssey podcast. Coming up, we'll be talking to an Odyssey book author and an Odyssey book editor.
Wow, that's a lot of writers in one room. But first, here's the latest news. Sled Run for Survival, the latest Imagination Station book, is now available in hardcover.
If you enjoyed the club adventure titled The Cure about the modern-day Iditarod, you'll love this story about the original medicine run in Alaska that inspired that annual race.
The story has all sorts of animals in the snow, including sled dogs, wolves, walruses, and even a polar bear. But the greatest enemy is one so tiny that no one can see it.
I want to hear more about that. Let's talk to Marianne Herring, the book's author, and Vance Fry, her editor, about this story and the whole Imagination Station series. Guys, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, thanks.
It's fun to be here.
Marianne, we've had you on before, and we'll have links to those past episodes. But Vance, this is your first time with us. Tell us about your role at Focus and your work on the Imagination Station book specifically.
Well, my role at Focus, I've been here about 12 years now. I'm an editor, and on the Imagination Station books, I guess I'm more like a production editor. I like work with pictures, and I work with Marianne to brainstorm ideas for the book. And, you know, we talk about, you know, what this illustration could look like. We talk about cover ideas together, and then I get it all moving, right? I get it to Tyndale, or I hire the illustrator to get these things nailed down. And so I make sure it becomes a book.
Yeah, and when we're ready to preview it in the club, you're the guy I go to. You're the one who hooks me up with all the pieces that I need.
And hopefully I get it to you on time,
you
right?
You sure do.
And the books are hugely popular. And so we're here to talk about the latest one, Sled Run for Survival, which is about the diphtheria outbreak and the 1925 serum run to Nome. Now, many of our listeners may be familiar with the dog Balto, who gets all the credit in most of the stories. For those of you who don't know the story, Marianne, give us a teaser of what happens in the book and maybe why you decided to tell the stories of the other dogs.
Well, there were hundreds of dogs who went on the sled run, and they covered many more miles than Balto did. And while he finished, there was all those dogs in the middle who covered many more miles.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them even died, which we didn't mention in the book. But I felt like for Balto to represent all the dogs was not fair.
Very true.
He's a glory hound, basically.
There's a very interesting story about how Balto became this, you know, widely recognized hero of the serum run. He apparently was first, and the newspaper reporter got his photo, and his name was more interesting to that newspaper reporter. So I think the other lead dog of that that last section of the trail was, I can't remember the name.
Fox.
Fox. Yes, yeah. It was less interesting, though, than Balto sounds, right? I mean, that sounds exotic and sled dog-like, right?
Right. It's just the power of the press, right? Yeah. Well, what we shine our light on is sometimes that what becomes the story, but there's all these other amazing stories behind the scenes, and that's what's so cool about this particular book.
Oh, Vance, part of your role as the editor is to check the realism, the historical accuracy of those stories. Give us an example of a moment or a story detail beyond just sort of the other dogs and their role in it that you had to look up.
Well, actually, Marianne is very good at historical accuracy. That's one thing she really cares about because she knows homeschool students like to use these books to kind of get another, you know, glimpse at a story from a different angle. So realism, yeah, I sometimes look at stories from a plausibility standpoint, although I use that word kind of loosely because, I mean, this is a time machine or a time thing that's like a time machine. And there are other interesting and fantastical elements like talking to animals, you know, via ear translation device. So realism, maybe that's not the right word, but plausibility. I sometimes do, you know, look for plausibility. I remember a situation in this book where Marianne originally had Amelia and Beth. They're flying an airplane. She suggested that maybe they turn on the side and fly through the struts of this bridge as they're landing. And I looked up pictures of this actual bridge near Nome, Alaska, and I said, can we just have them go under it? It just seems like the physical reality of that just seems a little implausible. Although I get it. Okay, this is a fantasy. It's for kids. It's you know, there are going to be some of those elements where you do have to sort of check your brain, I guess.
But. Yeah. Now, Marianne, I remember when you first had the idea to do the Imagination Station books. And now there are 30 in the series.
That's amazing.
It really is. So that's a lot of adventures. I had to find out, how do you decide which stories from history to tell and which people to highlight?
Oh, my goodness. I pretty much go for a strong cover. Mm-hmm. So, for example, with Balto, a sled with a whole bunch of dogs and a wolf in the background and mm-hmm. all kinds of excitement, that was, you know, an easy one to choose.
Oh, yeah.
That's pretty much how I pick.
You start with a compelling image.
I start with
image.
A cover scene. Uh-huh. And then, of course, I have to have a spiritual element. And in this book, Nurse Emily Morgan was a fantastic Christian. She had worked in World War I as a nurse in France, and she came and really had a heart for the indigenous people and so came to serve them. And later she moved up even farther north to care for them. And she's in the Alaska Hall of Fame and was a very, very strong Christian, as was the doctor. Mm.
Marianne, have you ever been interested in telling a story only to realize once you've gotten the cover done that you don't have a hero or a central figure that's as compelling as you thought?
No, not after the cover is done. But I have tried to tell some people's stories that are just kind of, they're not cover worthy, I'll put it that way.
Okay.
You know, scientists in the lab, there's a lot of scientists who were Christians and they had, you know, wonderful discoveries. But how many times can you show a test tube on the cover and make it really compelling?
Eugene would love it.
Yeah, he would. Maybe we'll have to have him come back in time. But I was able to get a good scientist, Tesla. I pulled him in with one of his fantasy inventions on the cover.
Talk about the research more, because like Vance said, you are just quite a researcher. I know you just don't, you know, Wikipedia and see what it says. You dig deeper into that. So how do you decide which sources are the most accurate?
Oh, basically, it's just a lot of reading. And then I consult scholars to find out, you know, is this totally off base or, you know, is could it be legit? Because there's a lot of legends out there. There was one that I wanted to do for Clubhouse Magazine, for example, about a girl who was being chased by the British during the Revolutionary War. And supposedly she hit a beehive and they chased them away. And I could not verify that story. I looked everywhere. It's such a great story. But I could not find her name in any of the newspapers back then. Not her first name, not her last name, not anything about her or her family, and I had to let it go.
I just had the privilege of the audiobooks that we're doing for the club. I just had the privilege of reading one, Doomsday in Pompeii, which I remember when you were writing that, we had a conversation. You were really worried about reconciling something with the dog. You want to talk about that?
Yes. So in that, when you do your research for Pompeii, you'll see an image of a dog that was caught in the lava, and it just broke my heart. So in my book, he makes it.
He gets on the boat.
He gets on the boat. I saved the dog because it was just so sad.
So there are times when maybe we don't do it exactly the way that it happened.
Yes, and I often condense the timeline so that it only happens in a day, some instances that would take a week.
Speaking of saving things from fire, this is a good opportunity for us to do our
TRQ,
which is a totally random question submitted by one of our fans, one of our listeners. And if your house caught fire and you could only rescue one thing other than your family and pets, what would you take?
Hard drive full of family photos.
Okay, that's Vance. How about you?
I don't know. Probably my laptop.
I'm taking my laptop
for
sure.
My laptop,
right?
It's like just like that's my brain.
That's right. A lot of stories
on that
laptop. It
has all my stories, all my research. Parts of ideas, so.
Okay, I'll revise my answer. I'll grab the whole computer.
Here we go.
Mine is really light, so
I could grab it. It's like 3 pounds.
All right. Mm. Good answers, and thanks to the fan who submitted the TRQ.
Oh, yeah.
Marianne, you've said that the previous book in this series, Islands and Enemies, which is about Magellan, was the hardest to write. Why is that?
Because I admired Magellan, I did a lot of research on the Middle Ages and was looking for a hero, any hero. And he was the only one that came up that was adventurous. You know, we had a nice cover. But also he was a true Christian. had a lot of faith in God. He had a powerful belief in the mighty hand of God. And so I wanted that to come across. But he was also a flawed individual. And I wanted to show that as well, because most of the Bible heroes, in fact, have flaws. And so I wanted that to come out. And it wasn't as nice and neat of a story as some of the other ones have. But I think I portrayed him fairly.
Hmm. Well, the first six Imagination Station books were part of a story arc. Mm-hmm. And since then, some books have been standalone stories. Others have been part of a bigger saga. Some have been, you know, groups of three. This one is part of an arc. What are some elements here that have set us up for the future adventures?
Well, I think the big one that ties these three books together is the Amelia arc. She's a pilot in Sled Run for Survival, and she's thinking that she can prove to the world, I guess, that an airplane could have made this trip instead of sled dogs. And so she's working for the government, and she comes in here and she wants to use the Imagination Station to prove that it could be done in an airplane. Although people that have looked at this in the past know that the weather was too cold and it was too white as you're flying. You know, the whiteouts and the wind and the storm just made it really tough to fly. So that's why they preferred sled dogs at the time. And yeah, she'll appear in Land of the Lost as well. She's part of the Lost. She's part of Team Lost, right? And she has another little arc in an upcoming book too called Big Risks in Russia, where she's very curious about why people would give so much of their lives to spread God's word.
Hmm. Marianne, which comes first in your planning? Is it the overarching narrative or the individual books when you're telling these stories?
It kind of comes out of both. It's like I'll have a short list of stories that I want to do, and then I'll kind of shoehorn the arc to make it fit. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So for this one, Talking to the Animals, originally the translation device came out in the Book About Magellan because there were so many languages on the ship. And so, and then it just happened to be that they could talk to the dolphins as well that saved them and saved Patrick and Beth. And then I thought, okay, that's great because I wanted to do Noah's Ark and we can kind of get, you know, talk to the animals there. And I wanted to do Balto. So that's why Balto and the Ark stories are linked.
Okay. Did the two of you ever talk about it at that stage, or is that strictly you, Marianne, and then and you bring in Vance later on after the story is starting to develop?
All the good ideas start with Marianne. we talk and we drink coffee and we, yeah.
No, but Vance is my sounding board because he'll go, no, 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 that won't work, or this or that, or he'll get excited about something and I'll go, okay, then I'll kind of see the value of that.
So and you are involved a little earlier in the process than just editing later.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right. That's
and
great.
He helps me with the come up with the cover concept, like, we mentioned the Big Risk in Russia. It's one of the rare ones that doesn't have an animal on the cover. And so, you know, how would we portray Russia? Where? How are we going to make build tension? He was a big part of that.
There's still room, you know. We could put an animal on this cover.
You know, I'm thinking about having another dog.
In the sky or something like
Let's
that.
Have a little brainstorming session right here, Mary. Maybe like, what kind of dogs do they have in Russia?
Well, I just have them. So there's a cosmonaut angle in there, and the Russians were using dogs in space.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
And
right.
So I think I'm just going to have all the dogs released.
That's in Red Square. I'm not sure the cosmonaut dog could work here, but maybe.
Well, I did love the squirrel sitting on Patrick's shoulder in, you know, Challenge on Fire Hill. And mm-hmm. I think it's so cool how you always involve animals. Makes me maybe think back to your roots here at Focus on the Family, Marianne, with starting the kids' magazines and always involving animals in the magazines as well. So why is it important to you to involve animals in these stories?
Well, because I was that kid. I read all the dog books, all the horse books. I was very interested in animals. And I know all our research from in Clubhouse Magazine, we got a lot of feedback. Kids love animals. And they're a big part of God's creation. So I like to highlight them.
In Islands and Enemies, the wit gives the cousins a translation device to understand different languages, but it soon allowed Patrick and Beth to talk to animals. Mm-hmm. This is certainly, when you're dealing with realism and plausibility, we're taking a step away. Uh-huh. But it's fun. It's just fun. So which came first, the idea for a human translation device or the idea to talk to animals?
I would guess that the mechanism followed the concept of being able to talk with animals, right? I mean, that's That's how Marianne works. But you got to weave wit into there, right? He invents cool things.
He does.
And one of the cool things he could invent would be a way to understand animals.
Yeah. And it's not like they were talking about the news and all of that. I mean, it was just very rudimentary animal talk.
Yeah. And so. I've actually tried to soften that a little bit with the animal saying intelligent things and, you know, why that might be a potential issue with, you know, theology, even, you know, that animals are, you know, they are clearly part of the created order, but we as humans have dominion over them.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Well, all these books have been a lot of fun, and I know our fans want to know what's up next in the series. What historical eras and heroes are Patrick and Beth going to encounter coming soon?
Well, I'm working on Big Risk in Russia, as we had already mentioned, and that's during the 1960s, during the Bible smuggling era. Mm. And so I'm highlighting some, I've made a fictitious Bible smuggler, but taken stories from true Bible smugglers who smuggled into Poland, into the USSR, and woven their stories throughout the book. And of course, Amelia is there.
Oh, yeah.
And working for the KGB. But you didn't hear that.
Wow. Spoilers already. I love it.
Yeah. And then after that, I know you floated the idea of somehow getting the cousins into outer space, which is very intriguing to me because that's totally different than anything we've ever done. It's also very modern, right? I mean, you've never had them, you know, this close to our time, I guess. And so
we have floated that around, so I'm not sure.
It's not going
to
happen.
I don't know. We have to talk about it, man.
All right.
You'll have to give me your wisdom. But I do want to see William Tyndale, because now I'm kind of on a Bible smuggler thing. And I've always wanted to do William Tyndale. And if I can find a cover angle on it, that's going to be... That's a shoe-in.
All right. We'll find an animal to put on that cover.
Maybe he can be riding a horse or something. I don't know. So those are just a couple of ideas that I have floating around.
Well, thank you guys for your time and the insights and the spoilers. I love having writers and editors in the room and in the podcast, and this was a lot of fun.
Thanks. It's always a joy to be here.
Thank you. It's been great being here.
You can pick up Sled Run for Survival in hardcover on the Focus on the Family online store right now, or you can find it at your local Christian bookstore.
Club members can get a preview of the next Imagination Station book, Land of the Lost, on the website and app. Just check out the What's New section.
And speaking of the club, there's a new monthly adventure coming soon, right?
Yep, it's a historical episode about the Civil War. Here's a sneak peek.
This month on the Adventures in Odyssey Club, meet Robert Smalls, a slave from Civil War times.
It's an honor to be here.
Robert becomes the pilot of a Confederate ship.
Fine work, Robert. You and the crew.
Thank you, sir.
And he comes up with a dangerous plan when his captain takes the night off.
Keep a good eye on my ship tonight, Smalls.
You can count on that.
Don't miss the incredible story of Robert Smalls and his daring attempt at freedom. This month on the Adventures in Odyssey Club.
That adventure will premiere March 1st, and the Imagination Station book preview is live now.
That's all for this edition of the official Adventures in Odyssey podcast, a presentation to Focus on the Family. To join the club, that address is adventuresinodyssey.com.
Or to learn more about the Imagination Station books, visit theimaginationstation.com. I'm Bob.
And I'm Jesse, reminding you that with God in your life, every day is an adventure.